Now we're holding on page Dalid of Yerushalmi. We're holding in Masechta Shkolim, Ois Beis. So Mishnah Shnia, the second Mishnah of the Masechta. Now we learned yesterday that on Tesvav Adar, Beis Din would start sending out messengers to take care of various matters. One of them was V'yotzin Afal HaKelayim. They would go around to people's farms and fields and check whether there was kelayim in their fields. They had already announced Rosh Chodesh Adar that the farmers should go and start looking if there is any. Now, 2 weeks later, Tesvav Adar, then they go and check whether, in fact, they've complied. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says there were different stages in how that was done. But originally, these shluchei Beis Din, if they found that there was kelayim in a field, then they would uproot it and they would throw it down on the ground in front of the farmers. And the idea was to embarrass the person. The person has right there in front of him the evidence of what he did wrong, and that'll get him hopefully in the future to not do that. Then when there started to be more people who do Avera, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that there were people that it didn't, that kind of embarrassment didn't work for them. So the shluchei Beis Din instead would still uproot the plants, but they would throw them onto the road, because when they throw it down in front of the farmer, then he thinks to himself, okay, listen, you know, now I have food for my animals, but you throw it on the road, it gets all trampled and muddy and everything, they can't use that. Eventually, even that wasn't enough. His skin So they eventually had to make the takana based in that they would be mafkir the entire field if you found kalayim in it, and that would definitely give the farmer an incentive to make sure that there's no kalayim in it. So the Gemara explains, Yerushalmi Tana Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda teaches in a brisa more details about why they had these three stages. But originally, when the shluchei Beis Din would pull out the plants from the ground and throw it down on the front of on the ground in front of them, so the idea was in order to shame them. But eventually, it backfired. Instead, the farmers, the Oivir Avera, are doubly happy. Number one, they think to themselves, "Look, here the shluchei Beis Din are doing our farm work for us. They're weeding out the plants." Because you have to remember, you know, we're not necessarily talking about where a farmer went and deliberately planted kelayim. You could have, for example, the threshold for kelayim is, suppose, for example, you have a pile of wheat kernels that you're going to plant, and you have some barley mixed into it. The din is if the barley is 1/24th or more of the, it's more than 1/24th of the mixture, then you have to pick it out and reduce it. So now imagine, for example, this guy intended to plant a field of wheat. He didn't bother cleaning out all the barley from it. Now, when the shluchei Beis Din come and pick out the barley, then as far as he's concerned, good. I didn't really want that barley anyway. I didn't want to bother having to go and pick it out. Now they went and did it for me. So that was one. And number two, they could gain from the uprooted plants themselves. They could feed them to their animals. So it wasn't working. So Beis Din made a takana that we should uproot the plants and throw them on the ground and throw them on the roads. And again, that way, at least they don't have them for their animals. And the hope was that would be enough to get them to do the right thing. And it probably worked for a while, but eventually, still the balabatim were happy, so they say him, because the shluchei Beis Din are weeding their fields for them and pulling out the plants that they don't need. So therefore, that's why Beis Din had to make the takana that they're mafkir the entire field. We can imagine, you know, I mean, it's a matter of yuridus adurus, poshut. You know, we know as time goes on, people are on a lesser and lesser ruchniistic level. So here you have, originally, the first method was enough, and eventually the second, and eventually they had to use extreme measures. Uminayin shehefker Beis Din hefker. Now, how bechlal do we know that Beis Din has the right to make things hefker? Now, we have in front of us in the print, we have minayin shehefker Beis Din hoya hefker. That was actually changed by the censors. The censors didn't like the idea of saying hefker Beis Din hefker. What do you mean? Beis Din shouldn't have such powers. So like this, they put in hoya, it used to be, but we understand that it's not like that. It means hefker Beis Din hefker even nowadays. So how do we know that? We find a pasuk in Ezra. So it describes over there how Ezra when he comes to Yerushalayim, he finds out that when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, he finds out there's a terrible problem. There are many Jews who intermarried with Goyish wives, and he calls together. So he and the Zkenim, which is the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, call together a whole assembly to get the matter dealt with, and they announce that in 3 days everybody has to be here. Anybody who doesn't come here in 3 days' time, so the pasuk continues, Yochram Kol Rechoshei, all of his possessions will be chayrim, will be confiscated. And he himself will be separated from the congregation of the Gola, which means that he'll be put in chayrim. So in fact, in the Gemara in Moed Katan, which we had over the summer, it was in Ein Yaakov, mentioned this point that Beis Din has broad powers for these kinds of things, to enforce halacha, including to the extent of confiscating money and putting people in cherem, and even pulling out hair and dragging people on the ground and so on and so forth, whatever it takes to get people to shape up. So we see, therefore, that Hefker Beis Din Hefker, because Yochram Kol Rechoshim. So the lesson from this, Hakosev says, is that you see, when people are being over an Aveda, then Beis Din is responsible to make sure to do whatever takonas are necessary, even to great extremes, to make sure, even to the extent of being mafkir, their money, their possessions, in order to get them to stop doing that. Okay, Oid B'Yerushalmi. The Rishalmi goes on to talk about more about when we say that Mashmiyim al Shkolim, that we have to announce about the Shkolim. So Amar Rab Abba Ba'acha Iyati Yochel Lamed al Oifi Shel Umazu. It's very hard to figure out what makes this nation, the Jewish people, tick. What's their mentality? Nitboin la Eagle, they're asked to contribute for the Eagle, the Noistin, and they all gave their jewelry, the men, that is, the women didn't. Nitboin la Mishkan, the Noistin, and then you ask them, Lahavdil, for donations for the Mishkan, and they'll give it, and they're giving it. So what is it? No matter what you ask them, they're always generous, and they're going to give it. It seems very hard to understand how they have two opposites. Akosev explains, in other words, you would think, so what is it? If they really want a Vodizara, then how comes it that they're giving so generously for the Mishkan? After all, okay, they want to, it is a mitzvah, but they're not required to. It's an adava. They could have gotten away with just giving a little bit, and still we see they gave so generously that in 2 days they had everything they need. So what makes them tick? But in the times of Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, later on, after Rabbi Abba bar Acha asked the question, then there came up an answer, a braisa was brought to the Beis Medrash in the time of Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina that helps explain the answer. Hashem tells Moshe, you should make a kapodas out of pure gold. And what's the kapodas? Is the lid of the oren. But why is it called kapodas? Yoveh zahav shal kapodas, v'yichaper al zahav shal egel. The gold that's given towards the kapodas should be a kapara for the gold that they gave to the egel. Oh, so now we understand. So it's not so self-contradictory what the Jewish people did. They gave gold generously towards the egel. Now, though, having realized how badly they messed up, and they understood that the Mishkan is going to be a kapara for that, so now they're willing to. So now they're giving so generously for that to be mechaper for themselves. So that's why they did that. One thing we see from this piece over here is, nowadays, for example, also, you have, let's say, people who are very generous. You have Jews are known to be very generous, and you sometimes have, the causes that Jews outside of the, especially outside of the Frum world, give to are not necessarily the best ones. So the issue is the Yid has to not only be generous, the Yid has to be Rachmanim Barshanim V'Goyim L'Chasadim, but he has to know to direct the Gmulus Chasadim to the right place, otherwise that itself is no good. Says something similar, by the way, about Achav. It says that he was he supported Talmid Chachamim very generously, but Bahavdil, he also supported Avodah Zarah very generously. So he was the same kind of bifurcated personality like that, where no matter what you ask him, he's going to give, but not discriminating like he's supposed to about between what's good and what's not good. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Reb Chagai b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Nachman sholosh trumas nemar b'parashazu. There were actually three different. There were three different donations that were given for the Mishkan truma, because three times it says truma, three times at the beginning of Kisisa and Parashas Shkolim it mentions the word truma. Actually, at the beginning of Parshas Truma, also Dabo Bnei Sovikli Truma, Meis Kol Asher Shei Yidrenu Libertikos Truma, see there's a Truma, Asher Tikchum Meitam. So Trumas Adonim, the first one is each person gave a matzah shekel that went towards the Adonim, the sockets that held up the boards of the Mishkan, as the Pasuk describes as the Pasuk gives the calculation at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. Trumas Shkolim, then they had to give matzah shekel that was going to be used for the korbanos, and trumas mishkan chola, and then they had general donations for the mishkan that would be used for whatever needed to be used for the actual structure of the mishkan would be used, and whatever was not would go into the treasury of the mishkan chola, as Rashi explains in Parshas Truma. So the point is, in other words, that like this, especially as far as the first two, they really didn't have a choice. They were told each person has to give matzah shekel. So you could say that doesn't show that they were so generous. But when we see with the third one that they were also so generous, then that we have to wonder why. And Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's Braisa gives us the answer, because they realize that they have to be mechaper for the chateigel. Mishnah Shlishis, Bachamisha Osaboy, on the 15th of Adar, besides that we said all the various things that Bastin would start dealing with on that day. So we said that on Meshchodesh Adar they had started announcing about that everybody has to get their Master Shekel ready, which is why we read Parshas Shkolim that time of year. Now on the 15th of Adar, Shulchanos Hayoyoshim Medina, they would have money changers. Shulchanos means tables, but it means a money changer, because they sit by a table to do their business, would start sitting in the Medina. Medina in general means a large city. So the Rivan, a Rishon who has a Pirush on this Masechta, and Yerushalmi explains that it means every big city throughout Eretz Yisrael. Other Mephoshim explain that it means, and the Rambam explains similarly, and then other Rishonim, Eitz Yosef brings that other Rishonim learn that it means just in Yerushalayim. The reason you needed money changers, first of all, you had people bringing all kinds of foreign currency and everything that had to be exchanged for the currency that they used in Yerushalayim. They have to make sure it's the proper weight and so forth. And for that matter, you might have a person. Imagine you have a person who saved up penny by penny throughout the year, and now he has a matzah shekel. He has to give it. He has to give it as a silver coin. So he'd need to go to a money changer in order to get it transformed into that kind of coin. So the money changers would be the ones who are collecting the matzah shekels on behalf of the Beis Hamikdash. B'chof hei yashuv mikdash. So on the 25th, they would start sitting in the Beis Hamikdash, meaning in the Har HaBayis. Now the Rambam, who holds that the Medina means the other cities, holds that the Mikdash means in Yerushalayim. The other Rishonim, who learned that Bamedina means in the other cities, they say Bamikdash means in the actual Beis Hamikdash. The point being, all of the matzah shekels from Eretz Yisrael at least had to be collected and brought to the chamber, to the Lishka in the Beis Hamikdash by Rosh Chodesh Nissan, because of Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they have to start buying that year's korbanos with the korbanos with that year's matzah shekel. So it's getting close to the deadline. It's only 5 days before Rosh Chodesh, so they would start sitting in more places than before, so that when people are coming, they could nudge them to give you matzah shekel. And the Mishnah continues, Mishu Yoshua b'mikdash, hischilu l'mashgin. Once they started sitting in the Beis Hamikdash, then also that was the time when they started taking a mashgin. If somebody had not given him his master shekel, then they were empowered to go and seize a mashgin from him, a security of some kind, until he pays his master shekel. As mimimashkinin, so who do we do that? Who do we force to give their matzah shekel by taking a mashkin? Leviim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Va'avodim, Meshachrorim, because all of them are chayiv in matzah shekel. Aval le'noshim, v'le avodim, v'le ktanim, but not women or avodim knanim, that is, or children, because none of them are chayiv. The pasuk says ish koy for nafshoy, implying not then. If they want to bring, then they can. If they have money of their own, that is, a woman usually, whatever she owns belongs to her husband, but you could conceivably have where she has money of her own, of course, if she's widowed or divorced, but even while she's married, it's possible. But if she wants to give gezunt to hate, and can him, even above bar mitzvah, up to 20 years old, are not chayiv. So since they're not chayiv, they wouldn't take a mashkin from them. On the other hand, but if a child's father starts giving on his behalf, then he shouldn't stop. So if a kid, the father started giving for the kid before he was 20 years old, so now he should continue giving for him every year after that. Because once he started, then he should continue. And the Eitz Yosef brings from the Gemara, if the father passes away before the child turns 20, then the child should continue on his own. Continues the Mishnah. Now we're saying in the Mishnah that they wouldn't take a, that they would take a mashkin from Levim, but the implication is not from Koyanim. So now, does that imply that the Koyanim are chayev and machzah shekel, and just out of covered for the Koyanim, they wouldn't take a mashkin? So in fact the Mishnah does mention that the Mishnah does mention in the printed Mishnayos that actually we have right over here we have the in mashkin as a koyim and darkei shalom. We don't take a mashkin from the koyanim because of the ways of peace, since now what that means is, since the koyanim are the ones who bring the korbanos, so we want to show them honor, we do want them to give matzah shekel, but we're not going to force them by taking a mashkin from them. Now that would imply that they are actually chayev in machzah shekel, and just we're not going to force the issue. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hayed ben Buchri biYavne, ben Buchri, that was his name, gave edus in Yavne after the Churban. Kol koyin shu shoykel eni choyte. His edus was any koyin who gives machzah shekel is not doing an aveira by that. Meaning, in other words, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, you think about it, if a Kohen gives towards the Korbanos Tzibur, on the face of it, that should create a difference as far as certain Korbanos. That now you have like this, the din is, the Torah tells us in Parshas Tzav, a Kohen brings a Korban Mincha, then you don't eat it, you burn the whole thing on the Mizbeach. So you could think then that if a Kohen is giving Machzah Shekel and some of that goes to buying the Lechem upon him and the Shtei Lechem and whatever, then that might mean, so how can we eat them afterwards? You might think, therefore, they're doing an Aveira by giving Machzah Shekel, and therefore Ben Bukhari wants you to know that no, they're not doing an Aveira, they're not required to, but if they want to, then that's fine. They can give it to the Tzibur, and it's acceptable, and then it doesn't affect the validity of the Korban.
Conflict of interest?
Not so much a conflict of interest, but Ben Bukhari's point, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to go on to say in the Mishnah, Ben Bukhari's point is that the Kohenim are not required to give Machzah Shekel. Now, the truth is, here we have, the Mishnah is going to give us an argument that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes in this regard, but there's another point as well. The Gemara actually explains, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, but the Gemara explains on it, that Ben Bukhari takes the view like this. The Pasuk says about the Matzah Shekel, Zeh Yitnu. So Ben Bukhari darshins that Zeh means the 12 Shvatim, meaning not Shevet Levi. We know that you always count 12 Shvatim. If you count Levi, then you don't count. If you count Levi, then you count Yosef as one Shevet. And if you count Yosef as two Shvatim, Manasseh and Ephraim, as we do for many purposes, then Levi's not counted. So Ben Bukhari held that it does say Zeyitnu, which means 12 Shvatim. Now, there are two ways of understanding that. Does it mean 12 including Levi, or does it mean minus Levi? Now, the Pasuk also says Kol HaOver Al HaPkudim. So now, that means anybody who passes through to be counted. So Ben Bukhari took the view that the Kohenim and Levim were not counted together with the rest of the Jewish people. Therefore, they're not included in Kol HaOver Al HaPkudim. Therefore, they shouldn't have to give Machzah Shekel. And in fact, even though he's only mentioning Koyanim, Hakosev brings over here from Rishonim that he would hold that the Levim are Potter as well. Anyway, the other way of understanding it though is that Kol HaOver Al HaPkudim, Kol HaOver means everybody who passed through the Yarden. Well, Shevet Levi, not the Yarden, the Yamsuf. Well, Shevet Levi passed through the Yamsuf as well. Therefore, they would be chayev. So two different ways of looking at it. But Ben Bukhari is saying that the point is, if a Kohen were to give Machzah Shekel, then again, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, you would think that maybe therefore since he has a portion now in the Korbanos Tzibur, then that should affect the validity of those Korbanos, because now it would make that those Korbanos which are supposed to be eaten, the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim, can't be eaten because the Mincha of a Kohen is not eaten. So Ben Bukhari wants you to know it's not so, there's no problem with that. If he wants to give Machzah Shekel, he can give it. Omelei Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, so Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai says to Ben Bukhari, no, you got it backwards, loiki, not like you're saying, Ella, it's the other way around, shekol koyin she'enei shoykel choyte. You have to take the word enei in your sentence and move it. You're saying kol koyin she'shoykel, any koyin who gives Machzah Shekel, enei choyte is not doing an avera by that. No, it's kol koyin she'enei shoykel, any koyin who does not give Machzah Shekel, choyte is sinning by that, meaning the koyin ma'chayiv and Machzah Shekel just as much as every other yid. Again, because the Zeh Yitnu means all 12 Shvatim, and because Kol HaOver means everybody who passed through the Yam Suf. Ella, so Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai says, I'll explain, Ben Bruchri, I'll explain where you're getting your mistake. Shakoinim Doshin as a mikra zela atzmon, the koinim doshin the following pasuk for their benefit. The pasuk says, "V'chol minchas koyin kol tia lo se'achol." Any mincha that a koyin brings has to be completely burnt on the mizbeach; it can't be eaten. And so the koyinim are arguing, "Hoyova oimer shtei alechem v'lechem aponim shalanu heim." Since the oimer, the korban oimer and the shtei alechem and lechem aponim, those are all types of korban mincha, and if they partially belong to the koyinim, because the koyinim have given machs a shekel, and some of their and then their money therefore is going into purchasing these things, how could they be eaten? It would be over on that mitzvah. So therefore, the koyinim use that drosha to claim, therefore, that really they should be potter for machs a shekel, and that and if they want to give it, then it's a nice thing, but they're not required to. So Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai says no. It's not so. That's not a real drosha, because there's a big difference between when a kohen is giving bringing a korban on his own versus when he's contributing to the tzibur. If he's contributing to the tzibur, then we don't consider it his anymore. It belongs to the tzibur, and therefore there'd be no issue with them being eaten anyway. So therefore, you can't. That's not a valid reason to pater the kohenim from giving machzah shekel. And in fact, there are different opinions on the matter among the Rishonim, what exactly and among Achronim, what exactly is Ben Bukhri's point? Does Ben Bukhri really hold that his drosha is a valid drosha, and Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai is telling him it's not, or does he know that it's not, and he has a different reason to pater Koyanim, as we said, because he learns Kol Over Alap Kodim differently? There's a good deal of discussion about that. The lesson we can learn from this, Akosif explains why he put this in Ein Yaakov, is for one thing, we can learn from this, first of all, we learn the importance of tzedakah, but also don't try to darshan things for your benefit. Here you have Ben Bukhri is taking a pasuk and almost like twisting it to create, or he and his fellow Kohen and whatever, almost like twisting it to create a drosha that will benefit them. That's not the way you learn Torah, to go and take things and cherry pick them and try to make them fit with what you want.
Is that the only place that he's mentioned?
This is the only place. I mean, so this Mishnah is quoted in the Bavli in Bechoris, and it quotes and discusses this Mishnah. But yeah, as far as I know, this is specifically over here. There is, by the way, a very interesting thing in Rishimis where the Rebbe analyzes in more detail what's going on over here. So the idea of Machzah Shekel is to be poil in the world. You're taking, as we're going to have in the next piece over here about the Matbeah Shal Eish, that you're taking the fire of Alakos and bringing it down into Olam Hazeh Gashmi and then being poil on the world. Now, Ben Bukhri, his very name is from the word Bukhur, as in the Koyanim are substituting for the Bukhurim, he takes the view that the Koyanim are on a higher level. They don't need to be Osik with the world. They need to be they need to be like what the Rambam says, that you know, like Kol Shevet Levi is moved alavur to Sakodesh, and therefore they shouldn't have to be involved with the mundane things of Machzah Shekel. So therefore he says, you know, Mela, if they do, then they're not Choyte, but they're not required to. Comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Yochanan, the Gemara explains in Brachas, has to do with Nisei Nisim. The expression of the Gemara over there is that if a person sees the name Yochanan in a dream, then he knows, should know that Nisei Nisim are going to happen for him, because of the two nuns represent that. And Zakkai, Meloshin, to make pure, a person is supposed to take the Gashmias of the world and purify it and elevate it and bring Nisei Nisim into it. So comes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and tells him, no. It's one thing if a Kohen is doing avodah on his own, then fine, he can be on a higher level. But when he's part of the tzibur, then no, he has to. When he's acting together with the rest of the tzibur, then no, he has to work on their level as well and work on being mevader of the world. And therefore, yes, he has to give machzah shekel just as much as every other yid does. So, I mean, on one level, of course, you know, we could say that Ben Bukhri, like Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai is telling him, you know, like you're coming up with like a very convenient sounding drosha for your own purposes. On the other hand, the very fact he's mentioned the Mishnah by name and that we discuss his point, you know, shows he wasn't Stam, some nobody, you know, and the fact that Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai has to deal with him, you know, yeah. Now, further on in the Perek, it talks about like this. When you give machzah shekel, most of the time you have to, together with it, you have to give a small coin called a kolbein. And the Mishnah describes the details about the dinim of it. The idea behind it is a number of different explanations among Mefoshim what the point of the Kolban is. One point of it is, first of all, we said the money changers are sitting and collecting the Machzor shekels. You have to pay them a salary, so then that would go towards that. But there's different other points as well, including one of them being the coins that people bring are not always full weight. You have to make up for that missing weight by adding the kolbon, by adding a small coin, which the Mishnah ends up discussing. The Mishnah ends up mentioning machlokas or mayor and the chachamim, whether it's 1/12 or 1/24 of the machzor shekel. Anyway, so in that connection, then again, one reason for the kolbon is in case some of the coins are underweight. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Amar Rav Meir, Kamin Mat, the famous thing, Kamin Mat Be'er Shal Ish, Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitachas Kisei HaKovod Shalai, Hashem took out something like a coin of fire from under the Kisei HaKovod, the head of Lo Moshe, and he showed it to Moshe, Amar Zeh Yitnu, this they should give, meaning Ko Zeh Yitnu, they should be giving like this. In other words, the point is, it's a nice drosha, but the context that the Gemara is bringing over here is actually to explain why Rav Meir holds that you always have to give the kolbon. Even the Mishnah goes on to describe various cases where the Chachamim hold you should be potter from kolbon for one reason or another, but Rav Meir still says you chayev, and the reason is because Rav Meir says the idea of the kolbon, he says, is daraisa, because your master shekel has to be a full weight coin, the same way as, of course, the coin that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu was a full weight coin. So therefore, since many coins are a lot of times not full weight because they're circulated and they wear out, then that's why he says you always have to give the kolbon.
So
it was a Mapeya Shalesh. The point is, in other words, obviously Hashem is showing him a full coin. It's not one that's been circulated and worn out. So he says that's the basis why you have to give the kolbon all the time. And of course, there's many things all over Chassidus and all kinds of things about what the deeper meaning of what Matbeah Shal Eish represents. It represents that you have the Gashmius of a Matbeah together with the Ruchnius of fire, and that your mitzvahs maisias have to be permeated with a fire of alakus, and that means that that kind of thing is able to be mechaper even on the cheta egel, and on. There are probably hundreds of maimorim and sichas that talk about different angles on that. So that was Zekos of Perkrishn of Perkchen Yeshmami Alin Zveroy Lachabram Yachad Vizenuskoy. Then you have that was in the first parak when it discusses the dinim of the kolbon. Then in the second parak, when it continues talking about the dinim of Machzor Shekel, then the Gemara mentions another point about the size of the Machzor Shekel. Now, the point is, Akosev says, what's bothering the Gemara at this point is, why does Hashem say to give a machzor shekel? Why not give a full shekel? And why also does the Torah describe it, estrim geira hashokel? You should know a shekel consists of 20 geira, which implies, in other words, that a machzor shekel is 10 geira. So just say straight out, either you should say give a full amount, instead of machzor shekel, give a full shekel, or say that you give 10 geira. Why mention it in terms of a shekel is 20 geira, and you're giving half of that? So k'siv ze yitnu, when the pasuk says this they shall give, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia argue, why is that the amount that Hashem decided that they should give? Why machzis? Chad Omer, one of them says, because they sinned with the Chet Egel in the middle of the day. What happened? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was, they were expecting Moshe Rabbeinu to come down from Har Sinai. Vayam ha'om ki boshesh Moshe. They saw that boshesh, the sixth hour of the day, Chatzos has come, and Moshe's not down yet, and the Satan showed them his mitta, and so on and so forth, and they panicked, and they ended up making the Egel. So they made it in the middle, and what happened? Then Moshe comes down, in fact, in the middle of the day, the next day on Yud Zayin Tammuz, and finds that they're worshipping the eagle. So they did the Aveda in the middle of the day, 6 hours into the day. Yitnu machzor shekel, therefore they should, so they did at the half point of the day, therefore they should give a half shekel. The Chorona Amar, the other one between Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemia, the Gemara will often do that. The Bavli many times will do that, Chad Omer, V'Chad Omer, and sometimes the Bavli will go and try to figure out which one said which. The Yerushalmi much more often just quotes the two opinions. One says this, the other one says this, without trying to establish which one was which. Anyway, V'Chorona Omer, the other one says, L'fisha Chotu B'Vov Shoyis Bayoim, because the Cheta Egel, their sin, was 6 hours into the day, Yitna Machzor Shekel, David Shita Garmusin. Then they should give a Machzor Shekel, which is the equivalent of six Garmusin. which is a coin that existed in Moshe Rabbeinu's times. So those are two reasons. Those are two reasons why machzis. Then the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya Omar b'shem Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. There's more considerations as well. That explains why machzis and why not the whole thing. Why not a full shekel? Now we also have to ask again, why does the Torah make the point of saying that there are 20 gera to a shekel, implying therefore the machzah shekel is 10 gera? Why not just say straight out, for example, give a coin of 10 gera? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya Omar b'shem Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, l'fisha ovru al aseres adibris, because by worshipping the eagle, they violated the aseres adibris. Now, on the face of it, they were only violating anochi and the yilacha, but those are the fundamental thing of the whole Torah, especially the Gemara mentions elsewhere that a person admits the truth of Avodah Zarah, is like he denies the whole Torah. So therefore, when they worship the eagle, then that was tantamount to breaking the whole Torah, or the whole aseres adibris. So therefore, Yehei Kolachad Rechad, Noisin Yud Geira, therefore each person has to give 10 Geira. Rabbi Rechi v'Rab Levi b'shem Rishlokish, they give another reason. L'fisha Machru b'chora sharocha b'chof ket, not a different reason for the Machzah Shekel. We're going to digress a second to explain a reason for the five Sloim, of Pidyon Aben, and then a similar angle on that reason is going to explain the Machzah Shekel. So the Berechi v'Rab Levi b'Shem Rish Lakish l'fisha Machru b'Chora Sharocha b'Chav Kesef, because the Shvatim sold Rochel's firstborn Yosef for 20 silver coins. Yehei Kolachad Vechad Noisin a Poydes B'Noi B'Chora B'Chav Kesef. Therefore, in the future, a person has to do Pidyon Aben using 20 silver coins, because there are four dinner to the seller, and since you have to do five Sloyim for Pidyon Aben, then it comes out to 20 dinarim. So that's why that's the amount that Hashem established for Pidyon Aben. And Reb Pinchas b'shem Reb Levi l'fisha mochra b'chodesh sharocha b'esrim kesef. So another way of looking at it is they sold Yosef for 20 silver coins, and now there were 10 brothers involved. V'nofa l'chal achad v'achad mehem teveya. Each one got two dinarim out of it, which was a coin that in those times was called teveya or tiva, as a coin worth a half a sela. So l'fichach yehei kolachad v'achad noisen shiklei teveya, that is why Hashem established the machzah shekel should be one teveya, one half of a shekel, corresponding to the amount that each of the shvatim got from the sale of Yosef. Hakosev gives a long explanation over here. Among other things, we know that the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu found it hard to understand about the machzah shekel, and that's why Hashem had to show him the matbeya shel esh. One of the things that he had a hard time understanding is that you have to have weights are relative to one another. So what do you have? What's the standard of weight that you use for everything else? So Hashem is showing him the standard of weight, which is the Makbeah Shalesh. And then that's the one you'll make the standard based on that. And then and this will be the koifer nefesh. This will be the redemption for their soul that every yid needs. And then again, we have the question: why dafka machzis, and why is it phrased in the pasuk this way? And then as far as the idea that it has to do with the sale of Yosef, So the idea is you have to make sure that it teaches you a lesson in Avas Yisrael. Be careful not to make the same mistake again of Yosef and his brothers and end up hating one another, and they ended up selling Yosef. So now every time that you're doing Pidyon Aben and every time you're doing Machzah Shekel, then it helps put that in mind for you, and therefore that you'll be careful with that in the future. Kosef finishes off saying, why did he put this in Ein Yaakov? Is because, first of all, it tells you even you can afford only very little. Nevertheless, you still have to give half of it for Hashem. You have only one seller. You still have to give half of it for Hashem. And number two is that person has to realize that he has to work on himself. He has to realize he's made up of two halves, a guf and a nefesh, and therefore he has to be ready to give half to Hashem to realize, in other words, that he shouldn't just have his nefesh following his guf. He should realize that he has to keep them separate and make sure to follow, and ultimately to have the guf follow the nefesh rather than the other way around, and to give it over to Hashem. Okay. Oyd bo perek sheni v'seifa mishnah. The end of that perek talks about. So later in the perek, it starts talking about like this. Suppose a person collects a handful of coins, and he says, "I'm going to give these for my maksa shekel." Now, maksa shekel is always going to be a fixed amount. So, what happens if he collected too much? So the Mishnah says the leftover is considered chulin. It doesn't go towards machzor shekel. And then the Mishnah digresses to talk about various other things. A person collects money for different purposes and you have some leftover. What do you do with the leftover? The different dinim in different circumstances. So the Mishnah mentions moser shvuyim l'shvuyim. When you have leftover money that was collected for pidyon shvuyim, then you give that. If you have extra money, then you give that money to those shvuyim themselves. So actually there are different mafoshim actually whether it means that, well so no sorry moser shvuyim l'shvuyim means that you save that money and use it in the future for shvuyim in the future. So you collected for a pinyan shvuyim fund. Now the shvuyim have gotten out of jail, Baruch Hashem, so now you save it in the future if there are shvuyim, are going to use it for them. Moser shavui, lo iser shavui, but on the other hand, if you collected for an individual shavui, then you give it to him, then he's zoicha in the rest of the money. Most aniyim laaniyim. Similarly, if you collected money for aniyim in general and you have leftover laaniyim, then you save it to give to other aniyim in the future. Most ani lo isa ani, and the same way, you collected for one individual ani, then he gets that extra money. Most amesim. Similarly, you collected money for mesim in general to be able to bury them. And to pay for the funeral expenses. Lamesim, then you use it for future mesim. Moser ames, what do you do with leftover money that was collected for one individual mes? Leyoshev, then you give it to his yoshim, says the Tanakhama. Reb Meir says, I'm not sure about that. Moser ames, yehem munachat shiyove Eliyahu. He says the leftover money should be left on the side until Eliyahu comes. Meaning, so the idea is, the Gemara explains that the reason why we would say most ames the Yoshev is because like this, they had to collect for his levaya. It's a bizoyan for him. So how would he be moichel on that bizoyan after he's already in the olam ames? You give it to his Yoshim and then he'd be willing to be moichel on the bizoyan. At least his children got something out of it. Reb Meir is not sure about that, whether in fact that's the mess would be moichel on that. So therefore, yehi munachat shiyov Eliyahu. So he says you have to set it aside until Eliyahu comes because we really don't know what we should do with it. Rab Nosson says when you have leftover money that was collected for a mess and you don't need it for his levaya, then you use it to build a nefesh of a type of matseva on his over his grave. So now that way it'll be covered for him. So the Gemara mentions in that connection, Yerushalmi Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein Osim Nefoshes L'Tzadikim. You don't need to make Nefoshes, you don't need to make memorials like that for the Tzadikim. Divrehem Heim Zichronam, their own words or their remembrance. The fact that people are going to be saying and are going to be saying over their words of Torah means you don't have to make a whole remembrance for them. Now, the Maisa nowadays, of course, we do. We have we have a matseva and we have an oil and everything. But. So the Yerushalmi mentions Govulei Becheskas She'en Lo V'Nimsa She'Yesh Lo. What happens now if they collect it on behalf of a mess? And thinking that he didn't have money, and it turns out when Nimsa Sheyeshloi, and it turns out he does have money after all. What do we do with the money then? Mela, we said when Itaka doesn't have money, then we have the Machlokas and the Mishnah, what we do with it. But he actually had money, we just didn't know at the time. Sover Rabbi Yimi Lamema, Moisam Master Yoshim. So Rabbi Yimi thought to say same thing, you give it to his Yoshim. Omele Rab Abba de Chutra, but Rab Abba from Chutra said to him, Haga Atzmacha, imagine for yourself, how can you say that it's the same thing? Dolei Skavnul Elalei. They were only meaning to collect for him. So it's one thing when he didn't have money, then it should go to him and to his expenses and to his Yoshim. But when he actually had, why should we say that it has to go to him? Why shouldn't we say we give it back to the people who donated it or use it for other mason? Omalei, said of Yumi, it tells him, Anolei Amris, I didn't say any such thing. Achman Roloch, where are you getting such a distinction? Meaning, Bapashtra, sort of Abba, is Rabbi Yumi's Talmud. So Rabbi Yumi is telling him there's really no basis for saying such a thing. There are actually several different explanations of what Rabbi Yumi means. Hakosev brings over here an explanation that from the Rosh that it means that Rabbi Yumi is saying, I didn't say for sure that it's that way. I'm thinking, like we said, sover Rabbi Yumi Lamemra, that we should give it to the Yoshin. You want to say that you want to say you give it back to the people, but fine. Do you at least have a proof to go against my Svara? And he didn't answer. So that Lamaisa, though, the Rosh says we should do like what Rab Abba says, that it was collected betos, and therefore taka should be given back to the donors if possible, and if not, then it would go to the general Chevra Kaddisha fund. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Chav Zayin Elul. We know that Rambam brings in Hilchus, the halachas of Mashiach and Hilchus Malachim by saying that Melech HaMashiach is going to come and restore Malchus Beis David, and anybody who doesn't believe that Mashiach is going to come, or who doesn't look forward to his coming, etc. So what's the expression Mamin Boy and Machake? Mamin Boy, when we say that person believes in Mashiach, now Amuna can be only in a makiftik way, as we have the famous expression that a ganav, when he's about to break into a house, is calling out to Hashem, which is all over in Chassidus. It explains that means that his Amuna is only in a makiftik way. If he actually realized, if he actually had true Amuna in Hashem, he wouldn't be trying to steal. So a person has to have not only a munah in Mashiach, a person has to have lechakos, to expect and to wait for his coming, which means, in other words, that it actually becomes part of his pnimius. Halachas of Rosh Hashanah. We know that throughout our service, we make sure you say Hamelach Hakodesh and Hamelach Hamishpat. If you forget and say Hokel Hakodesh, or you're not sure. So if you remember Toch Kedei Dibur, then you just say Hamelach Hakodesh and you're good. And the same thing with Hamelach Hamishpat. If you only remember Acha Kedei Dibur, which is Kedei Dibur is the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Or if you began the next bracha, then in the case of Amalach HaKadosh, you have to start Shemana Esrei over, because the first three brachas of Shemana Esrei are considered for many purposes in halacha one long bracha. The Chazan, in fact, would also have to, if he forgot and they didn't remind him, Tef Kedei Dibur, so that it would mean they'd have to start all over from the beginning of Chazar Zashat, and Kedusha would have to be set over again as well. So during our service, make sure to pay extra close attention to the Chazan, so in case he makes a mistake, you can correct him right away.
Even Suffolk
as well, because the general rule is during the first 30 days, same thing with Mashavod Ocham Oda Geshem and the same Talamater, during the first 30 days, we assume you're still saying as you usually are. And since Aseres Mitzvah is only 10 days long, you don't have enough time to get used to saying the new Nusach. Yes. Anenu is something else. Anenu, you're not Makkah.